Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. You know us so intimately. You know our hearts. You know the words before they come out of our mouth. When we rise up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, you see us and you know us. So Father, you know what we need. You know what we need in your word each week. Or you know what we need out of the singing this week, out of the prayer, and now out of the preaching. And Father, might you give it to us through your word. We recognize that what is written here and handed down to us is your word, your revelation about yourself and about the world, and that we might know you, know our world, know ourselves truly in truth and with clarity. Father, pray that you would give us conviction as we need conviction to repent, turn away from sin, doubt, hopelessness. Help us turn to faith, righteousness, and obedience. Strengthen what is weak, Father. Convict what opposes you. We love you. We pray this together in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you're not getting enough sleep. Is this something that your doctor may have told you lately? Maybe this is a diagnosis that you don't need to go to the doctor to hear and to know. According to Forbes.com, despite us as Americans spending $65 billion a year on sleep aid, 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from sleep disorders, and many more experience the physical and mental toll of lack of sleep and what it can have on your brain and on your body any given day. You add to this numbers of anxiety and depression that we've talked about this year. We're not a restful people, mind, body, or soul. This is not the way things are intended to be. The God who created the world intended for us to be at rest with him, to enjoy him in a completed world. The subtitles for our series as we go through the book of Genesis section by section is Knowing God and Our Spiritual World. Knowing God and Our Spiritual World. We are finding here in the earliest chapters of the Bible that our world is ordered and our meaning is defined by spiritual realities. The Genesis is giving the spiritual reality and the spiritual structure of our existence. So we've been answering questions just the past few weeks. Who is God? Who is God and how does he relate to the world? What does it mean to be human? Last week, what does it mean to be human? And this week, what is the end to which God has created the world? What is the end to which God has created the world? Okay, so there's God, the first few verses of Genesis. He's outside matter. He's outside time. He ordered the earth. Instead of coming out of chaos, he ordered the chaos, not like other gods. He made everything that exists, and then at the end of the sixth day, he made man, and he made man in his image and likeness to mirror him and to rule on his behalf for his glory. So God, you've made everything, and you've made man, and you finished. You did it. You made creation. You made the world. What are we going to do? Well, now what? What is the end to which you've created the world, God? What are we here for? What are we supposed to be doing? We're going to answer this question in this way today. We're going to first look at the Sabbath and what it means. First, look at the Sabbath and what it means. We'll see this in Genesis chapter 2, which Megan read for us. We're going to look at the first Sabbath and what it means, and then we're going to see how it is fulfilled in Christ. Look at the first Sabbath and what it means. Then we're going to see how it is fulfilled in Christ, and then we're going to discuss what do we do with each Sabbath day now. So we're going to look at the first Sabbath, what it means, how it is fulfilled in Christ, and what do we do with each Sabbath day now? Well, let's think about the first Sabbath and what it means. Megan read that for us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, but I want to show you that the structure in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 shows us that what happens in Genesis 2, 1 through 3 is what God is going to do now that he has finished with the work of creation. So look back in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. What does God say there? Or what does the Bible say there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the beginning of the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Skip past the chapter and the verses, which didn't exist until the 1500s. And look at the structure. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Now, to be academic about this, this is referred to as an inclusio. I began with a phrase and I ended with a phrase. In the beginning were created the heavens, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Inclusio, inclusion. There's a beginning, there's an end. So this is the beginning and the end of creation in Genesis chapter 1. It actually ends in chapter 2, verse 1. Meaning, what happens next in Genesis chapter 2 is what God is going to do now that creation is created. Do you see it? Heavens and the earth have been created. Now, what are we going to do? In a sense, God has created the heavens and the earth. He has finished all his work, and now he is going to enjoy it. He's going to enjoy it. He rested. The word rest just means he ceased. He ceased from his work, and he began to instead enjoy it. Enjoy it. By resting, God gives this last day a spiritual meaning to the day after the 6 days. This meaning for this day, we can't find it in science. You can't find it scientifically. It's not found in the rotation of the sun or the moon, the meaning of this day. You can't read it in the stars. It is instituted, the meaning of this day is instituted when God himself first rests on this day. We only know about it because it comes to us by the Holy Spirit-inspired scripture, God's revelation of himself. This is not, the seventh day is not a man-made practical rhythm. It is a theological rhythm which has its origin and meaning in God. So important to know. This seventh day is not a man-made practical rhythm that serves a function for us, necessarily. It is a theological rhythm which has its origin and its meaning in God, who himself rested on that day and by his resting on that day made that day holy. In ancient times past, the Romans attempted to make the day, the week, into an 8-day week and sometimes a 10-day week to get more out of their servants. The Soviets in the 1920s attempted just a 5-day week with random days off, which they eventually took to a 10-day week and then to a 12-day week, all intentionally to suppress religious practices and again, get more out of their workers. But this seventh-day rest rhythm, God has sewn into the fabric of creation so that there are 6 days, and then the seventh, and they are totality what God is doing in creation. And that includes creating everything and then enjoying it. This is his personal rhythm in his own creation. Well, what does it mean that God rested on the seventh day? Well, this does not mean that God got really tired. He just needed a break after all that creating. No, God's rest means that creation is complete and that there was nothing more to create at all. The inclusion from beginning and end shows us that God's creation was created. It was done. The Sabbath, this rest, shows us the purpose for which it was created. When after creation, God makes it holy by being in it and resting. This is the end to which God created in the first 6 days, the seventh day of being in his creation, with his creation, particularly with man and woman and resting with them. I think this is a helpful illustration for me. I really hope it lands somewhere with you. When I first began to teach our son who now mows the yard, I taught him how to get the mower out, how to start it, how to keep a straight line in the yard. Along the way, we learned some beginning lessons in life, what it means to do hard work. By that I mean mow after it has rained, outside in the afternoon when the sun is out in August. So you do the job, get the lawnmower out, you mow, you make something new. But then you're not done. Then you're not done. The next thing you do, you put the mower up. Please put the mower up. Shut the door. Please shut the door to the shed. Please. If not, I have to wake up at 1 a.m. when I hear it opening in the wind and have to go close it. Put everything up, and then we're not done yet. Then we're going to do what we mowed the yard for. Enjoy it. When you're done mowing the yard and you put the mower up, you get some iced tea, you get some iced water, and you sit on the steps and you look at the grass and you smell the grass. I love the smell of fresh cut grass, especially on the golf course, especially when it's your son who's mowed it for you. But you see, that's part of it. You don't just put the mower in and walk away and just forget that this work has even happened. You sit down, you look at it, and you enjoy it. Well, in some long-stretched way, this is what God has done. He's made it, and then he stopped making. And he looked at it, and he enjoyed it. As much as God can, in a phrase, he took it in. The goal was not merely to create, but to create something to enjoy and to establish restful worship. Just think about how great this rest would have been for God. You think mowing the yard feels good? All of creation, looking at the sky, looking at the earth, looking at the seas and the mountains, the animals, seeing man and woman, which you have made, seeing everything created, seeing everything humming with life, and then rest and sit back and enjoy it. This is defining of our reality. It's not just an assignment. It's not just a law. It's not just a rule. This is the purpose, the end to which God created. Imagine mowing a yard but never sitting down to look at it and smell it. Imagine building a stadium, never actually playing a game in it. Imagine building a house but never actually sitting down with your family at the table for a meal. God created the world, particularly man in his image and his likeness, for the purpose of being in it and enjoying it with man. On the seventh day, he did. And when he did, that day became holy by his resting on it. We were created on day six for the purpose of day seven. What we'll simply call the Sabbath rest. The first Sabbath, as it were, in Genesis 2, means that we were created to enjoy God. That God created in order to enjoy his creation. and for his creation to rest and enjoy him. And there's a rest that we were created for, but we lost. A rest that has to do with the fabric of our existence, why we're here. Not just for the sake of productivity, rest so that you can go back to work tomorrow, but rest being the end. The joy being the end, the worship being the end. You know, over half Americans, we don't even use our paid time off each year. The problem is so much deeper. It's deep down in our existence, our lack of rest, our lack of ease, comfort, ability to sit still for a few minutes and look at God's creation. We're not at ease with ourselves, we're not at ease with God. So we're on our phones, and we're watching Netflix, and we're playing, and we're spending. We're made to enjoy creation and enjoy God, to have a Sabbath rest with him. This can only be ultimately fulfilled in Christ. The Sabbath rest, the end to which we've been created, that first Sabbath shows we have been created to be at rest, worshipful rest, enjoyment with God. But this can ultimately now only be fulfilled in Christ. Only be fulfilled in Christ. Well, there's so much to say about how the Sabbath works in the Old Testament. The command to keep the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. And it's quite a severe commandment. And some of you may have some really strong views about what we should do with the Sabbath in the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'd love to talk to you about those. No time. We're going to look at some really pointed couple things really quick here about the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Go with me in your Bibles to Exodus 31, verse 12 through 17. And we're just going to see really quickly how what God instituted in his covenant with Israel could never accomplish the creation rest. It was ultimately only fulfilled in Christ. We're going to see that in Exodus chapter 31, and then just a moment in Hebrews chapter 3 to 4. So remember, Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 through 17. Remember that all the law of God was summed up in Leviticus chapter 19. When God had a covenant people for himself, he said to them, "You should be holy. You must be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." The commandment to his people is not to bear my name in vain. You have become my people. You should be holy, Israel, because I'm holy. Well, it makes sense that if Israel is going to reflect God, the God who created the world, Yahweh, the creator over up and against all the false gods, then it makes sense that his people reflect his holiness by somehow reflecting day seven in creation. By somehow practicing what God did. Well, this is where God has to his people instituted the law of the Sabbath. And see what it means and see how severe it is to God that his people keep this seventh day holy in their midst, in their practices. It's actually quite striking. It's Exodus chapter 31. Look at verses 12 through 17. And the Lord said to Moses, to tell the people, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, just think about that phrase, above all, whatever he's about to say is where? Above all. Above all, that you should tell them, keep my Sabbaths. That it is plural, is for another day. For this is a sign, God's Sabbath is a sign between me, God, and you, his people, throughout your generations, that you may know, in other words, you're going to keep knowing that I'm God, you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You keep doing the Sabbath, so you will know that I sanctify you, okay? You shall keep, verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. This is that moment when everyone thinks, maybe I haven't been thinking about the Sabbath the way God does. Whoever does any work on it That soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a ceasing of work of solemn rest. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. Listen to what God says. That in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath for Israel was not just a law to be kept, but a sign that identifies them with the Creator of the world. Do you see that? This is what God has done. He rests on the seventh day. You're his people. You rest on the seventh day. This depicts God's character, his purposes, to the ends to which he created the world. To profane this was punishable by death because it involved God's holiness. What God did on the seventh day was not just take a nap. It was the holy purpose for which he created the whole world. By not working each Sabbath, Israel expressed God's holiness by joining him in his rest. They fellowshiped with God, who rested from his work by worshiping in and resting from their work. But here's the thing. Israel couldn't do it. And neither can we. We can't keep up with God's holiness. We can't even rest as good as God. We failed the whole law. We are not as holy as God is holy. As a creation, we have sinned against God and his holy name. In so many ways, including the rhythm of the Sabbath. Israel was to express that creation rest in God by obeying God's Sabbath commands. But Hebrews is going to tell us the full enjoyment of God's people in God's rest with him, to go beyond just being a sign and keeping the law, the full enjoyment of God's rest with him could only come through Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 11. We're going to see here that in Hebrews 3 through 4, he's going to refer to, at different places, God's rest when he created the world, that Israel was supposed to enter God's rest, both in their Sabbaths and in the promised land. They were supposed to enter God's rest. And we're going to see that they didn't enter God's rest, but that we can through Christ. We can. The rest that God enjoyed on the seventh day of creation, we can enter and enjoy through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 11. I'll read. You follow along in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 11. Look for the creation Sabbath, the Sabbath in Israel, the rest there, and then the rest yet to come in Christ. And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? We read this earlier today in Psalm 95. Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So those who were disobedient in the wilderness for 40 years, they never made it into God's rest in the promised land. So we see they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as it came to them in the wilderness. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united in faith with those who listened. For we who have believed, that is, in Christ, enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the earth. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. This is Genesis 2. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, this is Psalm 95 from our pastoral reading, and the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest when they entered the promised land after the 40 years, if Joshua had given them rest, then God would not have spoken of another day later on by David in Psalm 95. So then, this is the situation. There remains, there still exists, it is, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us strive, therefore, to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Okay, what's going on? Well, like we said, there are three rests in this passage. First, there was God's rest at the foundation of the world. But then God promised Israel would rest in the promised land. However, as they were on the way to the promised land, we see some didn't make it. They never made it to day seven. They never made it into the promised land. Why? Many died in the wilderness before they ever got there because of the hardness of their heart. They did not enter the rest of the promised land because they did not believe God. So God rested in Genesis chapter 2, but then there was another rest in the promised land, and some of Israel missed it because they did not believe. Now the author of Hebrews is making this point. If you are not careful by the hardness of your heart and by disbelief, you will miss God's rest in Christ, just like they missed God's rest in the promised land. And if you miss the rest that is offered to you through Jesus Christ, you miss God's creation, Sabbath rest, altogether, forever. There is not another era in which God will, in some new way, offer mankind a way into his created, culminating seventh-day pleasurable, worshipful enjoyment of being with him forever. How do we enter into that rest? How could we possibly enter into that? How do we get in there? We've sinned against God. We don't care about the Sabbath. We're doing our own thing. How can we enter the rest like God has rested? Look at chapter 4, verse 2. The good news came to us just as to them. Do you hear that? The good news came to us just like it came to them. There they were out there in the desert for 40 years, and God gave them the good news. Hang on. Trust God. We're going to cross the river soon. And when we do, we're going to the promised land, and you can rest. But they didn't believe it. And now the author of Hebrews is saying, you're in the same situation. Good news has come to us too. What is the good news that has come to us? It is the good news of Jesus Christ himself. This is the whole message of the book of Hebrews. Every chapter in the book of Hebrews is telling us Jesus is the good news. He's the high priest. He is the priest in the temple. He is the lamb of sacrifice. He's higher than the angels. He's more faithful than the law. Jesus is the good news. So we enter into God's creation rest by hearing the message from God. Be saved from your sin. Be saved from the death that you deserve for your sin. Be saved out of the wilderness. And enter into my day seven kind of rest on the earth. You can do that by putting your faith and trust in the message that you've received, the good news that Jesus, as God's Son, came to the cross. He died for your sin, to pay for your sin with his blood, and he raised from the dead to enter into new creation forever. You want to go into God's eternal rest, the very rest for which he created the world to begin with? Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust his crucifixion for your sin. Trust that he raised from the dead, and that all who put their faith in him will, as it were, cross the river with him to rest with God forever. Good news has come to us just as to them. Will you listen? Will you keep believing it all 40 years in the wilderness until the day we are with him? When God looked at creation and took a deep breath, as it were, God doesn't breathe, but when he looked at it and said, it's done, it's finished, and he looks at creation and he makes that day holy by blessing it and enjoying it. The whole message of Christ is come, be saved from a ruinous generation, saved from your sin, and enter into the gods, to the rest of God himself, to God's own rest. You might not have even known about that or been able to put your finger on it, but deep down, this is the rest that you were created to enjoy, and all of your deepest angst, all of your deepest longing, all of your frustration, that no matter where you go, what you do, you keep bumping into a limit of joy and pleasure. You are stuck in your life getting all of your joy and your pleasure out of things that you can put your hands on. Your joy is limited to your bank account. Your joy is limited to what you can buy, how much golf you can play, what kind of car you drive, are you married or not, what school will you go to, is your life comfortable or is it hard? All these things that are going away, all these things that are in creation, you can only, without God through Jesus Christ, you can only find, you can only try to find all of your joy, all of your enjoyment in the 6 days of creation as if the seventh day never even happened. Because God's not your joy. God himself is not your rest. This is the seventh day rest, the forgiveness of our sins, being raised spiritually with Christ. That's how we enter the rest which God intended for creation in the first place. We go heart first, spirit first, to begin resting, having our sins forgiven. Where Joshua promised rest with God in the promised land, by death for sin and his resurrection from the dead, Jesus promises rest with him in heaven forever. This is one of the reasons Jesus did so much ministry on the Sabbath day during his life on earth. Much of Jesus' ministry, if you read through the Gospels, is teaching, healing, or casting out demons on the Sabbath day. And if you read through the Gospels, you might remember it really ticked the Pharisees off. I mean, they did not like Jesus doing things on the Sabbath. That's our day off, Jesus. That's our spiritual day. We're supposed to honor the God of all creation, and you're over here healing people and casting out demons, and your disciples are going to McDonald's and eating food. They're not following the laws. And Jesus' whole point ministering on the Sabbath was to proclaim, I'm coming to bring you the Sabbath, which is healing from your weak, sick bodies, which is forgiveness of your sins when I die on the Day of Atonement, which is a Sabbath day. I'm coming to give you freedom from the darkness in the world by casting out demons on the Sabbath, because I'm offering you the eternal Sabbath that God intended on day seven in the beginning. So I'm coming to give you the Sabbath that you were created to enjoy, but you can only enjoy it through Christ and the forgiveness of your sins. Sometimes it's all you can do to believe in Jesus one more day. I mean, forget about being fruitful and how much you evangelized this week and how much you've tithed this month or this year or how much you've served. Sometimes all you can do is just keep believing in Jesus another day, hoping that I'll make it to rest, because I can't find it here. I get to taste it, as we'll see in a minute. I get to taste it, and I enjoy it in my heart, and we ain't there yet. Amen? We're just not there yet. If we are striving to enter that rest, it means we won't fully know that rest until we are finally with God in heaven. On this side of heaven, we will always be rested in deep, spiritual, meaningful ways, yet also reminded that we have not entered that rest just yet. We've not crossed the Jordan just yet. We're in that 40 days in the wilderness, and we can find our rest spiritually in God through Christ and our sins forgiven, but we're not there yet. So we sing as we have sung this morning, "When I shall reach that happy place, I'll be forever blessed. For I shall see my Father's face and in his bosom rest." That's day 7. That's heaven. So the encouragement in the book of Hebrews is, let us strive to enter that rest that is in Christ, that is in heaven, by keeping our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do we enjoy that rest now, or do we have to wait for it? In one sense, it is future and it is yet to come. Christ has secured and he invites us to a future rest in heaven, when the 40 years, this era, as it were, is up. But we also rest now on each Sabbath day together. As Israel was commanded to keep expressing God's identity as the creator of the world, as holy in his rest on the seventh day, and Israel was supposed to mimic that, the church too continues to identify themselves with God and be sanctified. When God said in Exodus that we are sanctified by practicing the Sabbath, Israel, it meant that you are cut off. You were clarified, separated as the people of God, enjoying his rest. This is why Chick-fil-A tastes so good. No one works there on Sunday. That's a joke. I'm not, y'all think I'm being serious. It's just chicken. It's just chicken. I promise. It's just chicken. But we taste heaven and the seventh day rest when we as God's people walk in that seven-day rhythm that God walked in when he created the earth. We taste our future eternal Sabbath rest by practicing weekly Sabbath rest, wherein we are focused our faith on Jesus Christ, where we sing about Jesus, where we confess our sins and remember our assurance in Christ, where we hear gospel messages preached that remind us to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy a taste of our Sabbath rest in the future by practicing a weekly Sabbath rest together now. And just as Israel practiced weekly rest of creation, the church practices rest in order to remember the rest that is to come. Theirs look backwards, ours looks forward. So what do I do now? I mean, what do we do on the Sabbath day? My friends, I don't want to get too far into the weeds about how the old covenant is fulfilled in the new covenant. But I'll begin just by saying this. The Lord Jesus has given us the command to rest way before there was a law. It's sewn into the fabric of creation, and it is expressed from one covenant to the other in different ways. The 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, which is an ancient ancestor of the Baptist Faith and Message, our statement of faith, says, "The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs beforehand, In other words, you do what you need to do Monday through Saturday so that you can rest on Sunday. In ordering their common affairs, their daily affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employment and recreations, but are also taken up the whole time in public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessities and mercy. Well, it can be a very holy thing, for example, to take a nap on the Sabbath. Amen. Pray to God. Thank him for rest in Christ. Thank God for rest from your work, in your vocation, your rest from the striving against sin. Oh God, I look forward to the day when I am finally and completely at rest with you, but for today, I take a nap. And I rest in you. The Sabbath, however, is not a free day for a man to design, because it is not designed by man. It is a gift of rest with God. I fear some Christians today may think that the Sabbath day is our day off work, and we give God a couple hours of worship in the morning kind of to pay God off so that we can feel good about doing whatever we want and the business we want to get to for the rest of the day. Friends, I just want to tell you, to make some biblical theological conclusions here, that's like saying, I cannot wait to get to heaven and begin all eternity by worshiping God for a few hours and then do whatever I want to do with heaven. I think heaven is going to be a great place to have a lot of fun and do whatever I want. I understand we're going to have to do some worshiping of God. I get that. But I can't wait to do what I want to do. Not only is that not heaven, it is a gross insult to the value, treasure, worthiness, and the actual rest in God himself. It is gross. Real rest on the Sabbath is resting in God the entire day to represent the entirety of eternity in heaven. The joy of heaven is not that we get all the stuff in the free time and we finally get to retire from work and, yeah, we get God too. Heaven is the fulfillment of the seventh day where man is to rest with God. And our practice of Sabbath rest is both looking back to creation, identifying God's rest on that day, and actually resting with God on these days. I wonder how often we might lack strength and spiritual vitality. Honestly, as I was thinking this week how this might apply to like counseling in my life as a pastor, when people come to me for counseling and I think I might be doing some more formal counseling with them for a time, not just a phone call, not just an office visit, I'll send them a form. That form asks them to tell me about their sleep, about their diet. Are they on any medication that we should be talking about? What's their relationship with their parents? Do they go to church? Yes, no, how often? All of these kinds of things, because they all factor into whatever's going on in their lives. And just this week, it just made me think, maybe I should be asking them, what do you do every Sunday? What do you do all day every Sunday? I wonder if some of us are not lacking strength and spiritual vitality all the other 6 days of the week because we don't do the seventh day creation rhythm of rest with God. Just like some of us go to the doctor and we hear, you're not getting enough sleep, we might need to hear, you're not getting enough, quote, rest. You're squeezing a little time of God into your Sabbath day, but then what you're doing the rest of the day might be recreational. It might not be your day job, but it's not day seven creation rest, because it's not thoughtful of God at all. In fact, sometimes it might even be trying to distract you from God. Church, make the whole day about resting with God. The whole day about resting with God. And here's the thing. We will know that we haven't caught on to how great it is to rest with God all day and how great it is to just enjoy God for eternity. We know that we haven't caught on to it yet. When we hear the instruction of our traditions and Scripture say, give the whole day to God and no work, and we go, you mean I got to do religious stuff all day? You want me to just make the whole day spiritual? Ugh. That sounds like a lot of work to me. We don't get it. If going to church is work, if gathering for the church for prayer on Sunday evening, if meditating with God in the afternoon in His creation by yourself under a tree is work to you, friends, we might have even missed the gospel itself. Where God gives us rest through Himself and through Jesus Christ, and is not sitting around going, you need to do better Sabbaths, or I'm going to be really mad at you. That's not the gospel. The gospel is you deserve death. I don't deserve rest. I deserve God's judgment. I don't deserve to ever see God again. And He says, you know what? I'm going to give them rest in me through Jesus Christ. Give the Lord the whole day for the sake of enjoying your rest with Him. I mean, you need to maybe make some plans and recognize, like a doctor says, you know, the reason you're so exhausted is because you're looking at your phone till 1 a.m., you might need to look at your Sabbath day and go, one of the reasons you're so exhausted is because you think going to church for an hour and a half is the totality of the opportunity for rest that is in God. Just think about this. If someone said, you are exhausted, you know what? I'm going to give you a 5-minute nap. Oh, thank you. But you could also have a 4-hour nap. I will take the 4-hour nap, please. God's saying, I'm giving you a better rest than you can imagine if you'll give me the day. And come be with me and enjoy me in creation together. Maintain that it is something that God gives us, but that we enjoy Him through prayer, through personal and public meditation, by singing together, by singing alone, by listening to preaching with your pastor and your church, by listening to preaching online at home later, by coming back and gathering for prayer later in the evening, by fellowship with the church and being with the saints who enjoy forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus. And remembering that all along the way, none of this is work that we give God, but rest that we get by having God Himself. Church, if you find yourself only gathering with the church or not at all, begrudgingly, in order to obey some law, what is it that we're thinking about God? That He demands something from you to make you righteous before Him? Or is it, I love gathering with the church. I love Sundays because I can turn my email off and turn the TV off and I can just pray and sing and rest in creation with God. Isn't it great that He has given me that? Do not think about the Sabbath being something that you give the Lord. Remember Jesus when He taught about the Sabbath? What is it that He taught the Pharisees who were so upset, they're so mad that Jesus' disciples were picking grains of head in a field? It's the Sabbath day, Jesus, and they're out there getting little grains of head off those plants. They're breaking the Sabbath. They were breaking the rules. Part of Jesus' answer was, listen, man was not made for the Sabbath, Mark 2. Sabbath was made for the man. I didn't make a law and say, you know what, I need to make a Matt Hamm and a Steve Sivels and I need to make a John and a Megan. I need to make some people to keep my law. I got this law, and I'm just itching for some people to keep it. No. God made Sabbath for man. It's a gift to us. It's His grace to us. In this way, someone could potentially attend church their entire lives, and never truly rest in God. Be careful that your rest is in God, that you receive gathering with the saints, that you receive the day with God as a gift to you, and that you don't miss even the heavenly rest forever in Christ. Every Sabbath day is memorializing God's rest from his work in Genesis 2. Every Sabbath is a chance to feel God's rest, that he rested in creation. Every Sabbath is a chance to cease from your work and enjoy fellowship with God and his people. Every Sabbath is receiving the rest that Jesus secures for us spiritually by his death and resurrection. We can rest in heart and mind being right with God every Sabbath by coming to focus on him, and every day for that matter. Every Sabbath is looking forward, longing, remembering, waiting for the day when we will finally cross the Jordan and be at full rest with God in new creation. Rest on the Sabbath with God. Today, pray, read, nap, go for a walk, eat together, journal about God, think about God, come back this evening, pray together with the church. Enjoy God in these ways, as God giving you rest by bringing you to him on the seventh day, as we wait to enter God's rest forever. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks and praise for rest in Jesus Christ. God, thank you for creating. And we recognize your aims in creation for us to be with you in that seventh day rest that you will eventually accomplish entirely through Christ in new creation. We pray that you convict us, encourage us, help us keep faith in Christ, help us rest by faith today, help us have the faith to rest spiritually today by putting our eyes not on the kingdom that is shakable in this world, putting our eyes and our mind on Christ. Father, we love you. We pray this together in Christ's name. Amen.